Am I Martin Zender? Sure, beyond a shadow of any reasonable doubt, that we are in year 5989 FA. That's the question pressing on everyone's minds. And the answer is no, I'm not completely 100% sure because it's not stated directly in the scriptures. Good morning, this is Martin Zender. Don't be discouraged, don't be alarmed. I believe we're in the year 5989. I believe we're 11 years from the beginning of the kingdom and 4 years from the tribulation. And nearer even yet, nearer, my God, to thee, to the snatching away of the body of Christ. But you see, the reason I hedge my bet is because it's not emphatically stated in scripture that when you hear Martin Zender on his Revelation series, know that it is the year 5989. Therefore, I can't say with absolute certainty. Now, can I? What can I say with absolute certainty? Things that are stated with absolute certainty in the scriptures, such as God is the Savior of all humanity. That's 1 Timothy 4:10. So I can say with 100% certainty, God is the Savior of all humanity, and therefore must and will save all humanity. Ephesians 1:11, one of my favorite verses, God is operating all in accord with the counsel of His own will. I can say that with certainty because it is stated directly in the scriptures. We do not have a scripture that says the kingdom will dawn on the earth in AD 2017 or 50 or 6000 FA. 6000. Talk about an odometer turning over. We're 11 years from the odometer turning over. Also, the question might be asked, do I believe everything F.H. Bader says? I seem to be putting a lot of weight on the work of F.H. Bader, a German, in the book Chronology of the Bible. I don't believe everything this guy says. Nobody has everything right. This guy says some things about God that I don't agree with. Of course, he believes that the Word of God is the Word of God and ought to be treated respectfully and translated accurately. And he does that in the Devar translation, otherwise known as the Rit. So I give him credit for that. He believes that God is the Savior of all. God's working in eons. Other things, I don't necessarily agree with the man, but that's okay. When it comes to figuring out the years from Adam, the guy is in my estimation, a freaking genius. So that's what I'm going with. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? You understand that. So having said that, by the way, you can get, I don't know if it's still available, a hard copy, the Devar translation, the New Testament. You can try it, write Art Kerber, A-R-T-K-E-R-B-E-R at gmail.com. He's up in Canada. See if he has any copies left of the New Testament. Last I heard, they had sold out of the Old Testament, thanks to me, and they might be selling out of the New Testament hardcover. However, you can go to studyshelf.com, the website of my friend Clyde Pilkington, and under Bibles, scroll down under Bibles, and when you do that, you will see something called a parallel New Testament. This parallel New Testament has an 8.5 by 11 rendition of various versions side by side, good versions, the best versions of scripture I know, namely the CLNT, Concordant Literal New Testament, the Debar Translation, Rotherham, and Young's Literal Translation. And there's two volumes. There are selected books from the Old Testament and selected books from the Greek scriptures, including, of course, most importantly, Paul's letters. That's all you need anyway, is Paul's letters. Don't let anybody tell you you have to read the Bible every year. That is ridiculous. Why would you go and spend all your time laboring over Leviticus? That's not your mail. All scripture is for us. You can learn from it, but it's not all to us. Folks, the time is short. You need to read Paul's letters. Don't worry about reading the whole Bible once a year. It's just, if anybody wants to do that, great. You know, some people like to do 600 ab crunches a day. I don't know. I do like 6 ab crunches a week, but they're quality. You know, just slow and steady wins the race here. So that's studyshelf.com. Now, listen to this. listen to this, because I think this is good. When a cycle is over, the Word of God speaks of the completion of the time. This is very interesting in Scripture, which contains a chronology of salvation. A Scripture not only contains a chronology of the years from Adam, but a chronology of salvation. That is, a calculated time of the Savior of the world. Check this out in Genesis 4:4. When the completion of the time came, God dispatched His Son. That's Paul in Galatians 4:4. Paul underlines the significance of chronology in which God places His Logos at exactly the right time, His Word, that is the Son of God. He places Him at exactly the right time. And with the death of Christ, He finishes a cycle of salvation. That is, the basis of the salvation is completed at the coming of Christ. And this phrase in Galatians 4:4 is so pregnant with meaning. When the completion of time came. So there's a completion of time. And I contended to you earlier, and I contend to you again today, that the second coming of Christ is even greater than the first coming of Christ. And there is a completion of time. There was a completion of time for the coming of Christ. These times were set before us in Daniel, the book of Daniel, talking about the 69 sevens. Why mess with all of that? 69 sevens of years, actually 70 sevens of years. 69 of the 7 years have passed. There's one seven left. And of course, this does not include this time where Paul's administration is on the table during this eon. That time is not counted. God's time for Israel stopped when Jesus proclaimed the kingdom and it was rejected. And He said, near is the kingdom, and it was all true when He said it. The great example of that is when He picks up the scroll in Nazareth, his hometown, and He starts to read at the synagogue, and He says that the acceptable year of the Lord is here to proclaim salvation, to heal the sick, to make the blind see. And then He rolls up the scroll in the middle of a sentence, quoting Isaiah, rolls up the scroll in the middle of a sentence, because the very next sentence was, and to declare the vengeance of God. It was like to declare the judgment of the Lord. But that time had not yet come. And so He rolls up the scroll at a comma. I get into this in The First Idiot in Heaven. You need to order that book if you haven't already. And it's like it wasn't ready for the judgment of God to come, because that's the last 7 years. Why else did Daniel break up the times of Israel into 69 and 1? It's because that 1 was left, and the 69 became fulfilled, and the 69 also contained a 62 and a 7. There were two groups for the 69 years, 69 sevens of years, which was a group of 62 and a group of 7. It sounds complicated. It's all math. God's into this stuff, believe me. Go back to my earlier shows back in the bunker 2.5 years ago, and you'll find out about that. When the completion of the time came, God dispatched His Son. I love that. Now, I want to talk to you about God and history. The Word of God is chronology right from the get-go. Genesis 1:1. There is no other book on earth. The Scriptures are inspired. Give me a break. There's no other book on earth whose accounts are so unbrokenly connected together by chronological dates than the Word of God. And I'm talking in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, as well as the Greek Scriptures. But this chronology that's in the Scriptures has been made fun of by many people. It's been despised. It's been denied from its very first page. Even, like I said, the Catholic priest told me that, oh no, and the story of Adam is a fiction. It's a nice little fairy tale. It's just another way of teaching evolution. Really? No. There are chronologies there. There are times. There are bodies in the heavens set up for the marking of time from the very first page. And it was very easy for Satan to label this book, the Scriptures, as a book of fairy tales. And God really opened the door for that. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I was sitting looking at an orange wall as the sun was setting upon it. And it was a beautiful time of day. It was evening. And as I'm sitting there with a certain measure of peace, which was very wonderful, the sun was setting and I was staring at an orange wall of the house behind here, right outside the laundry room door. And I was thinking of the creation of Adam and the formation in one day of the animals, the fauna of the earth, the creatures coming up from the ground. And this was Genesis. This was the beginning. And before Adam was created, the animals came forth. And they all came forth on one day. And everybody goes, oh, come on, that's too hard. How could God possibly do that? And yet it's nothing for God. It's such a joy and a pleasure to bring the myriad creation forth from the ground, not from nothing. I almost said from nothing, but I could never utter those words. God brings nothing from nothing. He brings it forth from himself, from spirit, from power, from vibration. And nobody's ever seen it. It's so weird that people go to these movies with computer graphics and they all get all excited about the computer graphic animation. Everything's so fantastic, and people come out of the movies believing this crap. Like, that was so real. Well, you want to see something real? Then I want you to watch an elephant coming out of the soil, just like coming out, formed, and just the noise of the vibration as this the soil begins to shake. And then something is, and then God's, it's almost as if God's hands are pressing the soil together. Not the dust. We didn't come forth from dust. That's a mistranslation in the King James Version. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. BS. It was soil. It was the clay. It was can't make anything out of dust. You put that in a dustpan and throw it away. The soil is the mixture of the water and the dust, and it becomes a malleable substance. And God, picture this elephant being pressed together and coming out all out of the ground, and it was a creative masterpiece. And maybe there was music in there. I don't know. There might be a celestial host singing and humming, but this being, this elephant, was formed out of the soil, just like Adam was. And maybe in 1 second, it was fantastic. How could God do that? Oh my God! Anybody could even ask that question is really close to being brain dead. It's like the waves are just about flat on that. No. Flat wave. What do you mean, how could God do that? Nobody was around, nobody saw it, and yet it said God created these beings in a day. He created Adam in a day. That's fantastic. Adam just formed him out of the soil. You think it took him a long time? No. I don't think so. I think he did it quickly, which, the fact that he condescends to do this in time at all is, in fact, I just said it, condescension. But what a creative prowess. And so, you know, you can make fun of the Bible all you want, but if you really want to hear a fantastic tale, the Big Bang, that's utterly stupid. The Big Bang. It's like saying that an explosion at a print shop creates a dictionary with all the letters just happening to fall into all the existing words, all perfectly defined. It's absolutely ridiculous, because the Big Bang was an accident. It was a weird mix of chemicals in space, and everything blew up, and all this order and all this wonderfulness came out of it. That is freaking stupidity, ultimate stupidity. Evolution is complete stupidity, but we're so confident in evolution, even though it takes just as much faith to believe that as it does to believe that an elephant came out of the soil in 1 second with a great bass line behind it. God, it's so fantastic. And I was sitting back there. All this was coming to me. And I just saw this elephant coming up from the ground. Weird. And when elephants die, very sad that an elephant to die, but when they do die, they return to the soil where they came from, just like humanity. It's amazing. Can we see a cat coming out of the ground? The first cat coming out of the ground. But it had some kind of music associated with it. Why not? I mean, nobody was there. Nobody knows. But this happened. It happened. It's fantastic. Yeah, I admit. It takes faith to believe it. Yes, I admit. It takes faith to believe in the Big Bang. It's stupidity. The Big Bang happened 6.7 godzillion years ago. Ridiculous. It's just somebody dreaming this up while smoking dope. And then you have evolution, which says that species cross lines, that frogs become giraffes. It's absolutely insane. God and history. It's not a book of fairy tales, but it is the task of believing ones, those who are faithful to God and His Word, to remove in our minds any hint of an enemy, that is Satan, who disguises himself today in the form of accepted science, to vaunt itself, to elevate itself against the chronological knowledge, the chronology, the days and the years that are noted carefully in Scripture, in the Word of God. Because if we doubt the chronology of God, if we doubt the times and the seasons, that at the completion of the time God dispatches His Son, if we doubt that, then we're doubting God Himself. And so I will emphasize at the end of this show that the Word of God is absolutely superior. The Word of God is superior to any testimony concerning the history of this world or the history of this planet or the source of all life on earth. The Word of God is superior to every made-up piece of cerebral cotton candy refuse that comes out of the minds of pseudoscientists, of self-proclaimed philosophers, the Stephen Hawking types. And we have to think that Stephen Hawking is brilliant because he's disabled and he speaks through a synthesizer and he's had so much difficulty in his life. Therefore, he's a genius. Therefore, he's a genius? Wherefore is this therefore? That doesn't mean anything. I feel sorry for the guy, but does that mean he's tapped into the great celestial mind? No. The Word of God, Scriptures, and the chronology of Scriptures, and the mention of the times from Adam, and the reigns of the kings, and the numbers, and the sun and the moon, and the way God says the elephant was created, and the way God says Adam was created, is superior. As foolish as it seems, I don't care. As improbable as it seems, I don't care. It is superior to any theory or hypothesis or vague concept, stupid concept that any of humanity can come up with. And in the end, it is these theories and these vaunted hypotheses from so-called great minds, these will end up on the trash heap of history, and the Word of God will be found to have been true to its every single letter. And it is the grace of God that you and I can see that it's true now.